Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you, and our regular co-hosts, the money healer, Stephanie J. Alvarez, and Dr. Nicole Kane. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. It's good being with you today from the Vibrant Living Network. Pretty comprehensive introduction there. Boy, I'm so happy you're with us today. I wanted to talk to you about what I call soul seeing today. I want to talk to you about how to see something beyond what you're thinking. And I want to share with you how I came into this, and perhaps more importantly, how I met people. I met people in an unusual way. So I think it says in the write-up that I'm going to talk about The Announcement, which is a movie, a film, and I'm also going to talk to you about imagery. So imagery is the if you will, the hidden language of the soul, and it also is the language how we speak to each other relationally. And so how I discovered this, how I went beyond the known was, I had what I call a relational tsunami. A relational tsunami is when you could call it breakups, legal separations, and things that disrupt our lives. I had one of these about 8 years ago, and it put me in a state beyond what I knew, which is kind of a beautiful thing. I just hadn't, you know, I was very well studied, but it put me in a place beyond what I knew. And for the first year, it really was the most difficult thing. It challenged me at very deep levels. And I noticed it affected my breath. It just impacted me at a very deep level, emotionally. So one night in particular, I noticed that when I was resting, I could see things differently. I started to see things. And I realized there was an imagery that began to give me a sense of, so my breathing changed, and what I noticed that I did, because a lot of people say, well, trust life or trust the universe, which is a good thing. What I did is I trusted, I kind of engaged the imagery. I kind of saw it kind of was showing me something, and I was revisioning. So revisioning is kind of when you have something happen in your life, you start to see it in a different way. So I'll give you an example of an imagery. An imagery is, they're very simple, and they sometimes come to you if you open the gateway for them. And I had some images about my relationship in life, and when I noticed that the imagery that I was seeing was, and I started to engage with, it opened up another doorway. And this particular night, the next day I saw color differently. The next day I interacted with people differently. And the next day, people started to call me almost to the next moment. People started asking me questions about relationships. And it was almost like life went to another channel. And this film, which developed, which came from this imagery, is called The Announcement. So it came from this corrective imagery. And the story of The Announcement is the story about going from one level of the way we experience life to another whole level, another whole experience, and our breath, our feeling, our senses. So what the announcement is, it's a story of Diana and Gordon Banks, who were married 28 years, and they were in a legal separation. And it's a story of how they came, not just came back together, but deeply married again. It's a story of people going beyond thought viruses. It's a story of how people live beyond their conclusions and assumptions. Because our rational minds are full of conclusions and assumptions. That's our ability to see something new and share it relationally. Because actually, it just takes one person to turn a relationship around, not two. Sorry about that beep in the background. So I'm going to give you the opening scene, and then I want to invite Yvonne, and who's a coach, and Timshi Moyer, who's doing some just beautiful work around helping people really tune into what their body resonates. And we're going to start to help her write a book on the airways today. So this imagery that came in my life, it came through people. I started to meet people. People reached out to me from literally all around the world, and my life really began to open in a different way. And so this film that I'll be making, we're putting the cast together. It's kind of a beautiful thing because I feel like I have the world's best acting teacher. Eric Morris will be part of this. And so beyond the film, I want you to realize that you could use your imagery in a different way, and you could bring a new life to places you don't feel life. And not only that, you could bring a new relational connection where you don't think you have one. So I just wanted to say this idea of imagery and using imagery is very beyond the rational or the linear. So the linear is kind of how we see things and calculate. It's the mind that people think they know things, how they conclude on things. Sometimes people even think they're very smart there. And the truth is, there's another whole world. And this other world, as soon as we conclude something or as soon as we assume we have something, usually we're missing a good chunk of it. So those of you interested in spiritual healing and deep healing and soul and relationship, one of the best practices you could do is see beyond your partner's appearance. See beyond your partner's appearance. See them at the level that they are beyond what they're presenting to you. Because appearances are very deceptive. So I'll leave you with this idea that I want to open this up. I want to leave you with the idea, and this is part of the film, the announcement, that people don't divorce each other. They don't separate each other. People do not divorce each other or separate each other. They divorce the graven image, the darkened image. They've created it at the other person. And they move on that. To experience genuine love and deep, deep connection and ecstasy, we must see that person beyond what they're presenting and begin to draw that out of them, or you could say summon that out of them. And this is a different art and a very different mindset. When I read to you guys last week from the book by Thomas West, In the Mind's Eye, it's one of many books. And I read you and I said to you, and I read you about this famous person, his kindergarten teacher says, just his mere presence is disturbing. Him being in the classroom bothers others. I recommend he be placed in special ed. When I'm reading from Thomas West's book on dyslexia being a prerequisite for genius, it comes in all shapes and forms. In the sense that we conclude on people so quick, and even spiritual people, they judge, you see. We're not supposed to see people and judge people by appearance. The film and the corrective imagery allows us to see beyond the appearances that allow us to shut our heart and become dead and call that spiritual. So I want to open the show up and to a dialogue. I want to just say, I know Ariel's here. I just want to check, Susie, are you here? Susie Marie. Susie, you there? I'm Susie, huh? The food decoder. Guinevere. Guinevere is someone who's passionately interested in relationships. She's worked for many years, and we've been having a wonderful dialogue. I just wanted to get your response or anything you're curious about. Because, in some sense, the feedback that I've had from people has been beautiful, and it's opened me up. But I love from what I just said to get your response on any level that you move to respond. Genevieve, are you there?
Yes, I wasn't sure you're addressing me or the group in general.
I was. I'm sorry. I'm addressing you, if I can. I just
did. Okay, great. Great. Well, thank you for that. This is Genevieve. I have a business, Regenevate, which is helping people cultivate peace and vitality. And with that, I do agree that one person can change the energy in a relationship. And I also like to think of the other person who might be being acted upon, that they also have to agree to these changes to make it actually stick and move forward. So I think it is a wonderful cosmic dance between the instigator of change and the wonderful empowerment that they feel, and the chemistry between them and that person to see if the other person is willing to go along with those changes. And if I can offer anything of help to all the listeners, is that when somebody who is making the changes offers things in a curious, wonderment, gentle, lots of time and space, those are all wonderful characteristics and attributes that the person who is being not the instigator feels that they might be a little bit more comfortable in participating. So once again, curiosity and wonderment and gentleness and take your time and all of those things, I think, allow those changes to be cemented even further, because they're the ones who are needing to act with the original instigator of these changes. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're beautifully welcome. You're beautifully welcome. This is good. So I want to share with you guys a story. And I had a medical doctor call me from Arthur Hackett. So here's a story I want you guys to consider that's a little distinct. And one of you just shared something really beautiful. So I've had many teachers. And there's a story I want to share with you guys. It's not a rational story, but it's not sequential, but it's a story that I've had confirmed in my seeing. My seeing has changed very much since this. Oh, I call it a relational awakening. So this woman goes to a healer, pretty renowned healer. And the last thing this healer said before he transitioned was that the biggest barrier is the calendar, our sense of time, our sense of what he calls mesmerism, hypnosis. This woman comes to see him, and she's sitting there. She's just about to say, my husband is an alcoholic. She's just about to say that. And he looks at her. He sees her. Big difference in looking and seeing. He sees her, and as he sees her, she realizes. She says, oh. She goes, that's the appearance. And he tipped his head, yes, it's the appearance. The appearance of something tricks us. So we think we see someone. We're not seeing them. We look at someone. We think they're an alcoholic. I mentioned Dr. Martha Hackett, the medical doctor, and she read the introduction to Divorce the Patterns Not Each Other, and she told me that what I was talking about was incredibly uncommon, because part of what's happening is, yes, what Genevieve just said is very significant, relevant, but there's another level that's a non-rational level that we interact. It's a much deeper level. But we actually could change things because we exist in the same relational field. So a lot of this notion that we're individuals and we have personal power, this is a different distinction. We're actually living in a relational field, and it changes the whole equation of relationships and how we see each other. We're putting a conference together, and we have Kimchi Moore here and Ariel. We're putting a conference together on the Vibrant Living Experience, so we have a whole section on relationships. A vibrant matchmaking. We have a section on unlocking the body, unwinding the mind, vibrant movement. And a big section on relationalness, because we've just come out of this era where so much focus has been on personal power, on personal transformation. It's a very different thing, relational transformation. See, you wouldn't be trying to empower your bone marrow. You wouldn't be trying to empower your heart. Your body functions on a relational system. You don't need to empower it. You know, you need to let that system be a system. I just got a letter from a a woman in Colorado. She said after 30 years, she said, because I gave a talk on a relational field and how it's different than an individualistic field. I'm going to go to Kimchi because, Kimchi, you work with people who come to you. And we're beginning a book today. I'm so excited to bring the message, the wonderful message you have of what allows a person to be in residence with their food, their environment, their relationships, to develop a harmony where they haven't hide harmony, to develop an awareness, if you will. And I tend to tell, and I love doing this. I've been doing this since I was a teenager. I'd meet people and I realized I could come up with their book titles. And they would stop and look at me and go, oh, my God, that's my book title. And really a book title or a title of your talk is a way that you could sing and communicate something beyond your domesticated mind. Because a lot of what I'm exploring here is how did our minds get so domesticated? How did we, in captivity, lose touch with these instinctive intuitive forces, right? This wonderment. It's like we start to give up this. We start to conform to get along, and then we think there's rules and, you see, we collapse in that. And we listen to the media. The media is a description often of people have collapsed. It's not a conversation of what allows people to awaken and be more conscious and aware and truly intelligent. So, Kimchi, so I'd like to say the tentative title we're going to work for your book is, you know, your body's speaking, you're listening. And you work with people from equipment. You have some equipment from Germany that allows you to listen deeper to what the body's saying and how the body's responding to food or environment. And then you help people come up with remedies to be in a different conversation with their bodies. It's so extraordinary. You call yourself a resopath. By the way, everyone I speak to about you is so fascinated. So I'm so happy you're here. That you made the connection. So we're going to open your book today. What's the first thing you want to share with people? You've been doing this 30 years. You started out, you grew up in Vietnam. You became an acupuncturist. But you're a curious person. You're a person that stretched beyond what you'd known. And freedom from the known is the beginning of something new, to go beyond the known. Share with people, if you're going to take someone by the hand right now and walk them into your work, your current work, and how you got there, what would you want to share about your work, about being a resopath and helping people listen to their body in a distinct way? Welcome.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm sorry if there's a little bit of a noise here because I'm at the airport. But I like to go with what you say about imagery.
Yes.
That we should go beyond. We should see beyond. So the body could present itself. The person come in, I have a headache, I don't feel good, I have low energy.
Yes.
And you look at the person, you see them lethargic, and you start to, we all start to make assumption, maybe this person would need this and need that. So the ability to tap into the body's intelligence and let it communicate with us, allow us to see beyond the image that we see in front of us. And then suddenly, when we have that ability to access that information, we suddenly hear a story beyond. The reason the person have a headache is because these issues or the hormone has shifted, for example, and everybody has its own story. So if we have the ability to tap into that intelligence and to be able to track it, we would see the story, the history, how it begins with each individual, and therefore we can see beyond the image that the person come in with and be able to help that person. Does it make sense?
So we're gonna come up with a break any moment. There's going to be a brief pause, and we'll come right back. I want to continue on what you're talking about, beyond the image. That's a beautiful thing. I like the way you said it, beyond the image. So we're going to continue with Kimchi Moyer, Ariel, one of you. Life precious, enjoy it.
Hi, sorry, I'm on the radio show. That's why I couldn't talk.
Kimchi's at an international airport in Cancun. We'll be back with our Vibrant Living team in a moment. I'm Glenn Brooks. Stay with us.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network, which is a way of life. It's really a way of life. I don't just get on the radio. I live this life, exploring vibrancy and wonderment. And people literally show up around the world. I love it. I just deeply love this life. And it's a life that I didn't learn in school. It's a life that I met people that just came in my life. And having what I call relational tsunami allowed me to go on a lot of imagery and see beyond some of the myths of both the self-empowerment movement and a lot of personal growth stuff. The next evolution is a relational transformation that's inclusive, that goes beyond the belief that a lot of times are diseases. We're talking with Kimchi Moyer, who's a resopath, and she helps people discover what resonates, feeds them, nourishes them, allows them to go beyond the imagery that's not serving them. You know, our imagery could take us from life to death. It's that powerful and wonderful. And we're also writing a book on this topic with Kimchi. Guinevere's with us as well. He's works with couples and people, and also, of course, we have Ariel. Susie, I guess you're not there today. This food decoder. Are you there, food decoder? No food decoder. Ah, Susie's wonderful. She helps people learn about food, the truth, the food truths, and food lies. And she's wonderful. So she's not here. God. So my show begins when I live my life in between shows. We're actually developing the Vibrant Living Publishing. We're going to help people publish the book based on their deepest message, is what we're doing with Kimchi right now. And Kimchi, I love that you said that. But let's do this, Kimchi. Let's open up to the panel and see anything that you wonderfully said, Spark, Guinevere, or Ariel. Because what I want to do here is build this book with Kimchi that will also be part of our Vibrant Living Experience Conference coming to New York City region. We're getting tremendous response to this. I'm curious, as Kimchi speaks as a resopath and she talks about what resonates with the body, do either of you guys, Guinevere or Ariel, have a question or comment based on anything that you want to share? I want to get your voices into the program.
I have a question for Kimchi, and Kimchi has many times spoken about her practice of resopathy, which is very mm-hmm. interesting and very deep, and it's something I relate to as a homeopath. But I don't know if we've really heard exactly the logistics of how she does that with a client. So I'm just very curious to know how exactly, when she sits down with somebody, how she applies resopathy to get them to that place of resonance and to deal with all the interconnected mental, emotional, and physical, even spiritual, ailments and challenges that they deal with and that they want to overcome.
I want to say beautiful. And Ariel works at me in New York City, New Jersey. We have a team we're building there. And thank you, Ariel. That's a beautiful question for you, Kimchi.
Thank you.
Hi, Ariel. If you're ever in New York, I would love to invite you to come and have a session with me. I'll be more than happy to give a demo in person. But basically, if you agree that the body is energy, if everything in the universe breaks down to energy and energy moves, it has its own vibration, it has its own frequency. So whenever we can have two substances, when they have similar vibration, similar frequency, it would go into resonance. So all I do is very simple. I measure how conductive you are, and then insert a substance. And if that substance resonates with you, there would be a shift in the current. The current would move differently. And I'm just still at recording the current, the shift in the current, as I record the relationship between different pieces of data. And through that, I'm able to pose different questions to the body. And through that, I'm able to get to see what the body is trying to say. Why would the body get excited about, let's say, a food like a vegetable or a fruit, for example, but the body does not get excited about beef or, let's say, sugar? So there's always information. There's always a reason why the body behaves a certain way. So what if we have a way to tap into that intelligence and ask the question and let the body give back the feedback, give us the feedback, what it wants and what it, how it feels about that substance, then we can then decode the language of the body and help it to repair or to be in optimum health. Does it make sense to you, Ariel?
Yeah, it definitely makes a lot of sense. And again, it's something I totally relate to. It makes complete sense. It actually sounds very.
What are you curious about, Aria? What did Kimchi not say? What would you like her to say? If she could reveal the story to you, the vision to you, what's missing? Is there anything missing? What would you like to know more about?
I guess I'm just more curious about what kind of substances are used, because I know many other similar modalities like kinesiology. For example, kinesiology, you know, they'll recommend any medication based on what shows up on the test, and also biofeedback, you know, will just work more with the frequency of the body's energy to heal. So I'm kind of curious, like, what are the substances? I'm sure many others are curious too that are listening in. What exactly are the substances that you would prescribe based on these the recipathic tests that you're giving? And again, it's very fascinating.
Yes, that's a great question. And yes, it is like kinesiology. You're trying to tap in and use a muscle to get a response, yes or no. So this is a little bit more elegant. You don't involve any muscle. The person can fall asleep if they want to, and you just connect the person so you can measure the circuitry. And you can basically test for any substance. You can screen a supplement, a medication, a food, a gemstone, basically anything that has its own signature frequency, a plant, you can insert that into circuit with the body and see the feedback. What is the body saying to this? How does the body respond to this piece of information or substance that you introduce in? And not only you can measure one, you can also add other substances in and to see, is there a relationship between A and B or A and C? And through that, you are able to track the data, and the data tell you what really happened, what is the history, and where you are heading. Because it's all data organized in a manner that allows you to tap into that piece of information. Yes, so any substance you want to put into the body, and you would measure that. If there is a shift. Did I answer the question?
Yeah, and you answered it. I think you answered it perfectly, actually. And it's very interesting because I actually had an experience with this with a client in my practice. This is more kinesiology, but it's amazing to see how the test would come up and the test showed exactly what foods, what nutrition is proper for the patient, what homeopathic remedies, what natural remedies, medicines, and things like that really resonate and match with the person to help them, you know, rebalance on a variety of levels. So it's something that's always interested me. And And I want to thank you again for answering my questions. It really made things more clear.
And I'm excited about you going to Kimchi's office, by the way.
Yeah,
I'm excited about you two seeing each other in person. Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely love to meet
Kimchi in person.
Yeah,
would love to see you.
Yeah, you know, I want
to
share.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Kimchi. Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish, please.
Yes, I was saying that, you know, as a homeopathic practitioner, you can even use the method to determine the potency. Which potency? Is that the 6x or is that the 10x meth in this case? And not only that, not only just to ask is that the 10x is a better remedy, you can also look to see would this remedy can it be tolerated? Does it get to the root of the problem? What organ would it correspond to? So you can go even deeper and to understand the action of this remedy at this moment. Where, how does it correspond? How does it work in the body? So you can go into a lot of details with this.
Right.
I just wanted to. I want to thank Regulat. Regulat is one of our underwriters that we deeply appreciate. They have a wonderful Beyond probiotic product that also impacts the body. It has enzymes. It's a product that Kimchi uses when the body, you know, the thing I love about Kimchi's work and the whole conference we're doing, and we're going to be putting up a website on this conference. It's going to be in the New York area. We're also going to be working with what I call vibrant speaking. And going beyond the known, such a powerful, beautiful thing. So we're going to let you know about the conference. Kimchi, how do you spell Regulat? How do you spell Regulat? I don't know how to spell it, I take it every day. It's been profound. How do you spell Regulat? I want to make sure people could look it up. I don't have – Stephanie's not here today. Usually she does the Regulat ad. I want to say that Stephanie's not – she'll be with us next week. I treasure Stephanie Alvarez.
It's R-E-G-U-L-A-T. R-E-G as in George. U. L-A-T, Regulat.
Thank you, Rick, thank you. You know, I want to give you guys something, because sometimes it's a little, in imagery, sometimes it just takes a few seconds. And Genevieve, I want to tell you, I love your feedback, and I think what's beautiful about the feedback you gave is that it's a deeper approach. We have our mind, we have this other level of what I call relational imagery, or relational attunement, and I met a man. He became a teacher of mine, a guy named Sid Banks, and Sid Banks came up with these three principles of consciousness: mind, thought, and consciousness. And he influenced physicists. He influenced a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist, I'm going to introduce him to you. The model he'll be sharing with you is going to be, I think it's going to astound you guys. But he ran a public, he ran a mental institution. And there's so many people that had spontaneous healings. He was sitting with a woman one day, and I want you to think about this when you think about your life. There's so many people we can clue on, or we create a graven image around them. Like, you know, the conversation is, this is who they are, this is how they operate, and then we feed them back. We feed them back that image, right? We feed them back a deadened image, and we kind of forget this. Because every time we see someone, we can actually pull something out of them just by a glance. So the power of our seeing also awakens this quality in the person. And Bill said to me one day, this woman came to see him at the Institute, and this has to do with resonating and paying attention to what we send in our signal, how we listen. And he sat with this woman, and they brought her chart in, which was like as thick as a Manhattan phone book in the old days before there was the Internet. And she started to cry a little bit, and he looked at her and he said, you know, I see health in you. I see health in you at a level that's deep. I know this is going to stretch your minds, but she had a spontaneous healing. She went on to become a nurse. She had a spontaneous healing after 15 years of being in and out of mental institutions. Imagery and the ability to see someone and invoke them. It was the same lesson when I worked closely with Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez out of New York City, who left Sloan Kettering. Nick told me is the renowned world-class, cancer specialist he was, but people die when they get the diagnosis. Their immune system shuts down. What's missing in medicine is vibrant medicine, the way we attune, the way we listen. So let me ask you guys this question today. As we talk about medicine and we talk about vibrant medicine, we got to talk about vibrant relationships. How could the transformational culture, people embrace divorce when divorce is a division from, in fact, being relational and in tuning? So I think what happens over the last 30 years is we got so into the me, personal transformation, we've missed this next level, which is inclusive, and also when we see someone, we invoke and pull that out of them. I just want to get your voice again, Genevieve. You shared so beautifully earlier. I just wanted to add your voice to the conversation. What's been moving you listening to Kim? Is there anything that sparks for you listening? Anything you want to share?
Well, I think you use the words invoke and pull it out of them. I prefer
yes.
to use the words invoke and invite them. And when you make mm-hmm. things accessible and curious and with wonderment and no shame and ease and comfortable, you're more likely to get a creative partner joining you. So I think that quite often couples, they do get polarized, especially in more of the mainstream relationships, not necessarily in the amazing relationships where people have already done a lot of explorative and inner work. The common person that goes to work and deals with the children and the school and the finances and the dog to the vet and, you know, just the mundane stuff. I think that when you invite and you make things very comfortable and safe and cozy for them, that they will rise to that invite for divine personal connection, because people do ultimately want divine personal connection because it feels good. Why not? And I think that there is at least a space to be held while they make personal choice. And that is the joy of a committed relationship, where you say, you know what, if it takes you a couple weeks or it takes you a couple months, I'm going to hold space for you to think about this. And the instigator of the change can continue in his or her meditations and building up their energy field and keeping things calm and generous and comfortable. I think that liminal stage, that transitional stage, the unknown stage, is really important to be safe and protected while the secondary partner is going through their doubts and their weighing the payoff.
You know, when we continue, we're going to take a little brief pause. I want to know what you're curious about from Kimchi. As a resopath and the message of a book about your body speaking, you listening. I want to get your curiosity, what you're curious about in a moment. Your life's best.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. Welcome to the Vibrant Living Radio Network. I also want to mention today that we have an ongoing new segment. It's called The Maverick Path to Publishing. The Maverick Path to Publishing. How to break all the rules, write your book, make your movie. The Maverick Path to Publishing. I'll help you build a team and get you quotes and get you in touch or help you. So I want to say we're talking with Kimchi Moore, Guinevere. You're at the airport. We could hear the airport energy, Kimchi, all over the network here. Hey, so Guinevere, what are you curious about this new book that I'm helping Kimchi write? We're putting a conference together. When you hear Kimchi's a resopath and she works with the materials and energies of a person's life, what are you curious about? We were going to turn the next page. And I want to comment on what you said, actually, too. But tell me what you're most curious about from Kimchi and her book, and what sparks you when you've been listening to Kimchi?
Well, I don't have any specific question, but I do have a comment, which is I think it's wonderful that people are going to go through what I believe she's holding forward as a process, private sessions as well as the book, to continue to open them up into that space of transformational change. I completely believe that when that space is open, amazing things can happen. Amazing things can happen. And it sounds as if the increasing of the resonance with a variety of foods and herbs and situations and thoughts will only continue to have people expand. So I think her work is definitely one of the main backbone strings of couple transformation, because it gives somebody that individual strength to even allow them to expand beyond where they are. I think it's wonderful work. So no questions, just pure compliments.
Mm-hmm. You know, the subtleties, there's so many subtleties. I've had a lot of experience. Sid Banks, who was kind of a person who influenced me a lot, he talked about this idea that you could leap beyond time. In therapy, and a lot of what we talk about has time connected to it. I've had the experience of seeing people have instant transformations that leap beyond time. It's something I'm going to do a series about, on going past time and interpretations. The imagery world allows us to go beyond linear time. It allows us to make connections that we can only access in a way that's totally nonlinear. You know, someone just mailed me a check, a guy here had written a book. And you know, he just said, Glenn, I heard what the work you're doing. I'm sending you $300 because I'm moved and touched by what you do. No reason. Enjoy the money. When we could allow in our lives things beyond the rational and the linear, we can have a different life. Because, in fact, the conclusions and assumptions we have are often the poison that don't allow us to see and experience the tree of life, because we're stuck in the tree of knowledge. So when we keep thinking we need an exploitation and we think things live in time, it doesn't allow us to leap through time. And I remember one day this woman who had been living on the street, she was a hooker for 30 years, and she had an instant transformation, and she walked into a different life. So I'm inviting you guys to go beyond the linear and the definitions and the assumptions. The assumptions and conclusions we have often are the very barrier to entering. And it's the same thing relationally. You know, I want to leave you guys with this today. It was pretty powerful for me. I had this woman who teaches around the world, teaches leadership training, and she called me up, and she heard about divorce, the patterns, not each other. And I asked her if she was still teaching this course, ongoing course on leadership. And she said, no, Glenn, because I can't teach that anymore. She goes, it promotes the idea, I want you guys to listen to this, it promotes the idea of personal responsibility and creative expression. And she goes, I'm not down with it anymore. That's harmful. I'll say it again. Personal responsibility and creative expression. So what's harmful about that? What gets in the way? Because that's what she shared with me. And then she said to me, she goes, divorce of patterns like each other is so applicable to the workplace. Because this energy of divorce and division is so common. So personal responsibility is very distinct from being co-authors.
it's very distinct from realizing that we relationally impact each other, being relationally accountable. When I call someone a certain name, or I manage them and call them inefficient, or I language things that they're not a certain way. I'm being very responsible about me. I'm missing a dimension of our relationship that we have. Creative expression, also, a lot of times people get very caught up in being self-emergent. So I'm playing with you guys on this relational connection that we so often don't talk about. There's a new book out from Denmark where he talks about the self-improvement multi-industrial complex. He says, in coming to America, he says, I can't believe all the books are so me-focused. And they use the mantra of self-empowerment, and they use the mantra of personal responsibility. What's the mantra of inclusive relational accountability by our language, how we listen, how we notice? That's a very new place for us. Kimchi, your work and your new book on your body speaking, are you listening? How does it impact people in their personal lives? How does it impact people with their families?
You know, often people came in and after trying everything possible and they still not able to get to the root problem and to understand why they have these issues. So my job is just to go in and begin to record the data and what the body is saying, why they get sick, what happened to them years ago, where are they heading, what can they do about that. I think the ability to even know what really happened and why, give people a sense of understanding and relief, and yes, it's not my fault. It's actually, this happened to me, and this is why I don't feel good. So I think just to be able to know that it's really not their fault, and they came in this way, and they inherit certain condition, or even they didn't inherit, but this happened to them, and the ability to know what is it that the body wants to repair. So give them a sense of like, yes, there's hope. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. So I think that alone, people feel the method is worth to explore, to see what is it that the body says, so that we don't, human beings, you know, we don't end up like beating ourselves up and blaming ourselves for what really happened.
I want to get Ariel. It not only makes sense, it's going to be a chapter in the book. We're going to have a chapter called It's Not Your Fault. The secondary thing that people deal with, not after, as Dr. Gonzalez said to me one day, he says people die after the diagnosis, but unfortunately due to a lot of people's belief about transformation and self-development is part of the poison that stops them from celebrating wonderment and vitality, because they take on a false accountability or personal responsibility for being ill, for being not well. Oh, my God, the chapter on It's Not Your Fault, it just rang a deep bell in my heart that just that notion. I've had so many people be absolutist around this. I've had many women on my show who have healed from breast cancer. Many of them who weren't getting well, they take on the secondary symptom of guilt and disconnection. I want to say that's a true holistic idea. It's not your fault. Ariel, Genevieve, I'd love to get your comments on It's Not Your Fault as it relates to deep wonderment, well-being, and really going beyond the chains of the false chains of illness and degeneration. That's a real tree of life statement. It's not your fault. Just beautiful, Kimchi.
And Glenn, another thing too, even if it's your fault because of the lifestyle that we have conducted over the time, think of the craziest thing that we did. Even if it's our fault, the ability to understand where are we, can we do something about it, and can the body actually repair it? No. And when you get answered, yes, you still can repair it, regardless of all the damage. Are we still here? We're still intelligent enough that we could figure out what's going on. This is what we need. So how about if you give us this or you give us that, then we can repair ourselves. So I think even that alone, give people hope and say, hey, I still can get going and there's still time for repair. And I think that right there is very powerful.
Genevieve, Ariel, I want to get your comments. It's not your fault. Another chapter is going to be going beyond conclusion and assumptions. See, concluding, you know, listen, I meet people all the time around the world. They go to different people
and they sometimes die. I'm going to give you my favorite story. We did a series in Santa Cruz called How Sacred Medicine Can Save Modern Man. Sacred medicine, vibrant medicine. I'm with a Native American healer, and he met with me, and he said, "Glenn, I could work with you." He goes, "I feel you. I can feel your soul." And I said, "Please, Cloud Pilot, tell people what the definition is of sacred medicine." And he said, "Well, it's like this. It's like this. My wife is a kindergarten teacher. This kid jumped out of the other day. He was playing and cut this mole open on her neck. Next thing you know, we're at the hospital. And the oncologist, I thought about my beloved friend, my close family member, Dr. Nick Gonzalez, because he said there's so much danger in the diagnosis, right? So anyway, at the hospital, he said the surgeon spoke up first. They had a meeting, the surgeon, the oncologist, and his wife. And the surgeon went first, and he said, "Well, we're going to cut this out. We're going to cut this out." He put out a chart. And he said he was holding his wife's hands, and he felt her dying, felt the spirit leaving her body. What we invoke through our language and how we see is so wondrous. Now, as the oncologist spoke, the cancer specialist got up, took him by the belt buckle, and threw him out of the room. And he says, "I have a different vision. I have a different imagery. There's the yin side, the yang side, and the masculine side and the feminine side. Sometimes you got to really summon that energy where you let your will." You know, I was someone around me, a very close person. She was really dying around Lyme disease. And I was talking to an anthroposophical, a neurologist who had consciousness. And he said, "Glenn, we got to bring her soul back." And funny enough, I got her this pair of red shoes. And I feel the soul come back in her body. Each day, each moment, each imagery, we're bringing forward things. I'm starting a new part of the network for Maverick Path to Publishing. Maverick Path to Publishing. Write your book. Break all the walls. Publish your message. Make your movie. If you're interested in Vibrant Living Network, 413-345-3747. 413-345-3747. I have the Vibrant Living team and network because I'm so much smarter with them. I'm so much smarter with Kim Sheik, Genevieve, Ariel, Susie Maria, Food Decoder, and of course, Stephanie Alvarez. I'm just a me. But you see, when I tap the open mind with them and we ask different questions. So Kim Sheik, the conclusions. So we got, don't conclude. We got, it's not your fault. Genevieve or Ariel, I love you to jump in. Ask, what's the question or comment you want to make around this part of the book? We're talking about it's not your fault. What's the medicine? What's the thing that allows a person to get out of this dreaded? See, the illness is a dreaded. It's a dreaded fear. We've all been conditioned. Deepak Chopra, my good friend, used to say to me all the time, "Glenn, we grow old and die because we see other people grow old and die. We divorce and leave our partners because we see other people divorce." You see, we need to clear our mind of thought viruses, and then we can find out what resonates. When I first met Kim Sheik, I had a big yes in my heart because I knew this was a message I wanted to bring out. I wanted to write a book on and do a whole conference around. Go ahead.
It's not your fault, but it's only up to you to take control of your health and your well-being and to channel it in the right direction.
And what do you think? So Kim Sheik. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Al. Go ahead.
Meaning that. It's very true that a lot of things there are very, a lot of issues that create the susceptibility that gets us in the position we get in, that we're in, is out of our control, or it's miasmatic, as the homeopaths like to say, or it's, you know, there could be a variety of factors. At the end of the day, a person's in a specific situation, and that's just the way it is, and the only way to get out of it is instead of focusing on minor factors, a person just needs to grab the situation by the horns and just try to figure out, how can I get to the place I want to get? What's the first step I need to make to get there? Because once that first step is made, then, you know, it makes it much easier for everything to fall through. You know, when a person wants to connect to anything, as long as they're able to take that first step forward, even if it's minor, then that's what's necessary to jumpstart the entire process, whether it's holistic healing, whether it's business, whatever it is. Just a quick anecdote. I actually met with a new client yesterday, and just from the first consultation, without anything prescribed, just the fact that this client was able to make the step forward to meet with someone like me, and to jumpstart her process of gaining control and power over her life and her health and her well-being, it was already a big relief and enough for her to motivate her in order to get to where she wants to get to. She actually texted me afterwards.
Yes.
Let's see if I have it here.
You
have to hear what she told me. And I didn't. And it's
okay. Go ahead.
And it's applicable to Genevieve and Kim Chi's thing. I'll say really, really quickly before we finish. She wrote, she told me, I feel free in myself tonight. Again, this is just from an hour, 2 hour session.
Nothing prescribed,
but just the fact that there's an effort made. And there's a way, and there's a will. When there's a will, there's a way.
Beautiful.
And I think as much as it's not our fault, which it isn't in most many cases, at the end of the day, we have to make that first step forward in getting rid of that susceptibility or to live the life that we want to live. So
you know,
I want to add
love
to
it, Aria. No, very, very beautiful, very beautiful. So right, so the person's engaging at a deeper level. I want to leave you guys also with the notion that agreement is the beginning of the miraculous. I want you to ponder that. Agreement is the beginning of the miraculous. We'll continue with the book, Kimchi's new book, Kimchi Moyer, Resipath, next program. Check out updates at Om Times Radio, Vibrant Living Network, Om Times Vibrant Living Radio Network. I deeply want to thank Genevieve, Kimchi Moyer, and Ariel. He does such beautiful work. And thank you for your listening, your questions, and your engagement. I'm Glenn Brook. Stay with us for our next program. And thank you deeply for listening. And thank you.